Each SLBM exits its missile tube and takes to the air in powered flight. It takes 80 seconds for each submarine to empty itself of its entire nuclear payload, same as Ted Postol briefed US Navy officials at the Pentagon more than 40 years ago, using his cartoon-like drawing as an instruction tool. The trajectory of some of the SLBMs will send them over the North Pole and down into the continental United States. To predetermined targets that constitute U.S. nuclear command and control, other SLBMs will travel due south, on a trajectory that will take them into Europe. To predetermined targets that constitute NATO nuclear command and control, and NATO nuclear-capable bomber bases, at roughly the same time, and thousands of miles to the southwest, another two conning towers surface, this time in the Atlantic Ocean. Each of these two Russian submarines surfaces just a few hundred miles off the east coast of America, in locations the U.S. Navy has previously tracked them patrolling. Russian submarines have, of late, traveled so unnervingly close to America TMS East Coast that the Defense Department included in its fiscal year 2021 budget request to Congress a map of the alarming tracking data it has gathered on both Russian and Chinese submarines. Enemy submarines patrol perilously close to America TMS shores. U.S. Department of Defense, imagery drawn by Michael Rani. It is the astonishing speed with which ballistic missile submarines can launch nuclear weapons, and hit multiple targets nearly simultaneously, that makes them the handmaidens of the apocalypse. Time and again, declassified nuclear war games have demonstrated that if deterrence fails, this is how it ends. With Armageddon. With civilization being destroyed, the submarines in the Atlantic Ocean fire their ballistic missiles, then drop back down beneath the water and vanish. To the north, on a floating ice sheet near the Franz Josef Land Archipelago in the Arctic Ocean, three black conning towers, on three Russian submarines, slip back beneath the whiteness and disappear. 49 minutes, Raven Rock Mountain Complex, Pennsylvania. For U.S. nuclear command and control, launching nuclear weapons in this moment is not open for debate. All military protocol and nuclear war doctrine across every decade, since the invention of deterrence as a concept, indicate the time to launch is now. Except for the fact that the Secretary of Defense is sworn in as acting president and still suffering from nuclear flash blindness, he has a point to argue. In this scenario, he makes his case from where he sits in a leather office chair, inside the command bunker in the Raven Rock Mountain Complex. SecDef. As acting president, I am in charge of any decision to launch. Which is true, technically. What is also true is that the STRATCOM commander is in possession of the Universal Unlock Code. Here inside the bunker, the morale is a mix of shock, furor, and also despair. Ayo, not a place you want to find yourself, a former Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta tells us. Ayo, where you could be called to the middle of a mountain to deal with a nuclear war. A. Panetta also served as the director of the CIA and, before that, the White House Chief of Staff. Ayo, there are books, procedures, steps, A. Panetta explains, of a time like this, A-lists to tell you what to do in a crisis. But no one prepares for nuclear war. A deterrence has failed. So have all theoretical war strategies passively in place for decades to further the idea that nuclear weapons make the world a safer place. Euphemistic policies like AOE string deterrence, AOE escalate to de-escalate, A and AOE resolve to restrain. A policies that in this scenario are revealed to be their own ticking nuclear time bombs. Policies that seem destined to have failed. The idea that nuclear strategies like A-tilled deterrence and A-flexible retaliation A-policies that promised nuclear war could be stopped after it began are as full of folly as deterrence itself. The despair overtaking certain minds in the SITAR bunker comes from the terrible reality that has been intuitively known by many for decades. That the only way nuclear war ends is in nuclear holocaust. And now, it is only a matter of minutes, until the end. The STRATCOM commander does not TMTC any need to argue. He tells the former Secretary of Defense, now acting as president, as Commander-in-Chief, that he has 5 minutes remaining to act, and that the action he needs to take is to open the Black Book. 49 minutes, 30 seconds, inside the Doomsday Plane, over Utah. Inside the Doomsday Plane, the Stratcom Commander reviews strike options in the Black Book. He waits for the SecDef to authorize launch, but in name only. The Stratcom Commander has the Universal Unlock Code in front of him. The Stratcom Commander can, and will, launch retaliatory strikes against Russia. The Stratcom Commander controls all of the remaining nuclear weapons in the Defense Department TMS arsenal. As Stratcom Commander Charles Richard told Congress, in a situation such as this, AO Stratcom ATMS, combat ready forces prepared now to deliver a decisive response anywhere on the globe, across all domains. A to be clear, A deliver a decisive response means US Strategic Command is prepared to unleash the full force of America TMS nuclear triad if it ever receives word of an incoming Russian attack. This means, launch the ICBMs in missile silos across the US, launch the SLBMs in Ohio-class submarines on patrol in the Atlantic and the Pacific. Get the US bombers loaded and into the air, to drop nuclear, gravity, bombs, and air-launch cruise missiles, ALCMs. Get the NATO jet fighters loaded and into the air, to drop nuclear, gravity, bombs. The long-standing A use them or lose them strategy moves to the fore. In roughly 8 minutes, hundreds of Russian nuclear-armed SLBMs and ICBMs will begin striking the United States. U.S. nuclear command and control facilities are assumed to be at the top of Russia TMS target list. AO use them or lose them means the U.S. will immediately launch everything in the nuclear triad before its fixed military targets are destroyed in the incoming nuclear attack. As decisions are being made about which counterstrike option to hit Russia with, the former SecDef, now acting president, vocalizes a crisis of conscience debate. 49 minutes, 30 seconds. Raven Rock Mountain Complex, Pennsylvania. Speaking over the advanced extremely high-frequency satellite constellation from inside Site R, the Secretary of Defense presents his for the good of humanity idea. That maybe there is no point in killing hundreds of millions of people across the world in Russia. That just because hundreds of millions of innocent Americans are about to die, maybe the other half of humanity are full of so many innocents it does not have to die. His suggestion gets dismissed without consideration. In the words of complex systems expert Thomas Schelling, the AO irrationality of irrationality has already taken hold. Rule number one in nuclear war is deterrence. That each nuclear-armed nation promises never to use their nuclear weapons unless they are forced to use them. Deterrence is fundamentally predicated against harboring any kind of for the good of humanity ideas. AO every capability in the DoD is underpinned by the fact that strategic deterrence will hold, a U.S. Strategic Command insists publicly. Until the fall of 2022, this promise was pinned on Stratcom TMS public Twitter feed, then taken down. But to a private audience at Sandia National Laboratories later that same year, Stratcom TMS Deputy Director, Lieutenant General Thomas Bossier, admitted the danger of deterrence. AO everything unravels itself if those things are not true. A that unraveling has occurred. In nuclear war there is no such thing as capitulation. No such thing as surrender. The only thing left to do is to decide which mass attack counterstrike option to choose from in the Black Book. It is from the former ICBM launch officer and nuclear weapons expert Bruce Blair that we know what a US mass attack counterstrike against Russia might actually look like. Blair, a TMS colleague at Princeton University, the physicist Frank von Hippel, explains. AO until his untimely death in July 2020, Bruce Blair, more than any other outsider, enjoyed the confidence of former leaders of the United States and Russian strategic commands. This allowed Blair to report, in a 2018 monograph, the most detailed publicly available information about U.S. nuclear war planning, von Hippel explains. about AI primary and secondary aim points, AI also known as targets, in different nuclear-armed countries the US sees as potential adversaries. Blair wrote, AI there are 975 targets in Russia spread out across three categories, 525 for nuclear and other WMD, weapons of mass destruction facilities, 254 conventional, war-sustaining industry, and 200 for leadership. A and that AI many targets in all three categories are located in densely populated Russian urban areas, 100 such aim points. The greater Moscow landscape alone. The clock is ticking. The Secretary of Defense must decide which mass attack counterstrike option to choose from in the Black Book. The Secretary of Defense chooses the most extreme option, Alpha. Some 975 targets in Russia. AO Russia presumably has a similar set of targets in the United States, A. von Hippel reminds. A full-scale nuclear exchange is about to begin. A maximum warfighting, A in the words of Bruce Blair. The beginning and the end. 50 minutes, inside the Doomsday Plane, over Utah. From inside the Doomsday Plane, the STRATCOM commander relays launch information to the nuclear triad. But he was going to do it anyway. A massive, all-out nuclear counterattack in response to the incoming Russian missiles. On the ground across America, in ICBM missile fields in Montana, Wyoming, North Dakota, Nebraska, and Colorado, launch officers received dozens of sets of authorization codes. In a matter of minutes, 350 silo doors will blast open and 350-minute-man ICBMs, carrying 350 nuclear warheads, will launch. All of them headed for targets in Russia. At Minot Air Force Base in North Dakota, and at Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, the B-52 nuclear bombers prepare for takeoff. Airmen on the tarmacs race to jumpstart the heavy bombers at TM massive engineers, all of them using the Carterage start, or cart start, method. This involves inserting a small, controlled explosive charge into two of each of the B-52's TM-8 engines, thereby allowing the aircraft to get off the ground faster than the hour or so it usually takes. Black smoke billows out. All remaining engines are started. One by one, each of the bombers joins the ominous elephant walk formation down the tarmac. One by one, they gain speed and take off. At Whiteman Air Force Base in Missouri, the B-2 nuclear bombers prepare to roll out of their hangars, taxi down runways, and take to the air, which leaves the boomers. The nuclear-armed, nuclear-powered submarines. The nightmare machines. The handmaidens of the apocalypse. The vessels of death. Unlocatable by Russian missiles and therefore unstoppable. Nuclear-armed to the teeth. The Navy controls a fleet of 14 of them, 12 of which are said to be in operation at any given time, in the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. That two of them are always being overhauled in dry docks, one on the East Coast, at the naval base in Kings Bay, Georgia, the other on the West Coast, at the naval base in Bangor, Washington. In this moment, there are 10 boomers at sea. AO 4 or 5 of those are thought to be on a hard alert, 8 Chris Ensign and Corda report. That the other AE 4 or 5 boats could be brought to alert status in hours or days. Every individual, in every nuclear command and control facility across America, prepares for what is about to happen. They are not preparing for war fighting. They are preparing to annihilate the other side. And for their own, almost certain, pending deaths. FEMA will not send out any more messages. America TMS 332 million plus citizens will now be left completely in the dark. 51 minutes, NATO airbases, Europe. At minute 51 in this scenario, at NATO airbases across Europe in Belgium, Germany, the Netherlands, Italy, and Turkey are the pilots who have been waiting inside hardened aircraft shelters, ready for combat, now receive orders to launch. AO the special alarm sounds, I says retired F-16 Air Force pilot Colonel Julian Chestnut, formerly stationed at the nuclear-capable NATO base in Aviano, Italy. AO, the scramble order comes down. The order that alerts pilots to nuclear mission. A Russian SLBMs are coming for them. In a matter of minutes, they will strike. NATO TMS nuclear bombs come out of the WS-3 vaults. They are loaded onto NATO aircraft. NATO pilots know their bases are a primary target, a aviation journalist, and former second lieutenant in the Italian Air Force, David Sensiati, tells us. AO, they know they have to get up into the air, fast. A that what they are now facing amounts to a suicide missions. AO nuclear mission pilots have a single target, maybe a secondary one, A says Chestnut, who was once awarded the Silver Star for gallantry in combat. And each nuclear pilot knows everything about his or her one route. AO, you train and train on that. WTMV memorized every ground feature of note. WTMA assuming your GPS has been jammed, and WTMA working entirely on inertial navigation and map memory. A overflying Russia to drop a nuclear gravity bomb means facing down Russian radar systems. NATO aircraft are not stealth like the B-2 bomber. AO, Russian radars can see you, A Chestnut says. A heavy can track you, and will likely shoot you down. And since air TMS no way to defeat the Russian radar, you have to fly really low. A as in just a couple of hundred feet above the ground. NATO pilots are trained for nuclear war. Chestnut describes a Cold War tactic. AO, just a few miles off target, you pop up and release your nuclear weapon. Air TMS, a parachute attached to it, that slows down the bomb as it falls. A the bomb falling by parachute allows NATO pilots a little extra time to try to get out of the area. AO, to try and beat the nuclear blast wave. A newer model nuclear bombs glide to the target without a parachute. AO, they have to get extremely close to the actual target, Sensiati clarifies. Most NATO pilots accept there is little hope of realistic return. AO, you burn a lot of fuel at low altitude, A Chestnut tells us, AO, thousands of pounds of gas an hour. So, by the time you get on target, WTMA running out of fuel. A there will be no US Air Force tanker available for mid-air refueling. AO, you have to assume your fuel tanker is shot down. A nuclear war is final, Chestnut says. AO, and besides, A he adds, after delivering a nuclear weapon, would TMD have to ask yourself, is there anything you really can come back to? A with launch orders from the UK Prime Minister and now also from the acting President of the United States in place, across Europe, NATO pilots race down the tarmacs and take to the air. 52 minutes, Pyongyang, North Korea. 32 US submarine launched nuclear warheads, transported by MIRVT Trident missiles and guided by star sighting, arrive on their targets in North Korea a little over 14 minutes after emerging from beneath the sea, in the Pacific, somewhere north of Tinian Island. The destruction of Pyongyang, North Korea TMS capital city, is absolute. A majority of the city TMS 3 million residents are incinerated. Each W-88 nuclear warhead strikes its designated target with a precision that Sandia National Laboratories in New Mexico has boasted publicly about, for decades. AO, the warhead always works when we want it to and never when we don't. Your TMT, a program manager Dolores Sanchez says of the W-88. AO, the arming, fusing, sick, and firing assembly are the brains of the warhead. A and the Sandia warhead is very smart. The W-88 warheads have a yield of 455 kilotons each. The bomb that destroyed Hiroshima was 15 kilotons, Nagasaki was 21 kilotons. The amount of explosive power that strikes North Korea in this scenario is almost too much for the mind to comprehend. As President Kennedy once remarked after a briefing on likely nuclear death tolls, AO, and we call ourselves the human race. A MIRF stands for Multiple Independently Targetable Reentry Vehicle, which means very little to most people and certainly nothing to the millions of people the MIRFs will kill, and yet it has meant quite a lot to nuclear war planners and defense analysts over decades past. A MIRF, like its acronym states, is a weapon system that carries multiple nuclear warheads in its warhead buser, each one capable of striking an independent target, including ones hundreds of miles apart. If Murph minutiae seems like too much detail to consider when the world is about to end, it is important because it helps explain how fast global nuclear war unfolds. How tragic and ironic it is that human beings developed slow and steady over hundreds of thousands of years, culminating in the creation of vast and complex civilizations, only to get zeroed out in a war that takes less than a few hours from beginning to end. Since the 1960s, when MRFs first came to be, an estimated hundreds of billions of dollars have been spent designing, developing, expanding, and perfecting MRF technology, on industrializing and mass-producing MRFs. And then, after the arms reduction talks of the 1980s, the world TMS nuclear experts decided MRFs were a destabilizing to world peace. And so, tens of billions more U.S. taxpayer dollars were spent demerving the MRFs. Ayo this step, A proclaimed the U.S. Defense Department in one of its nuclear posture reviews, AU will enhance the stability of the nuclear balance by reducing the incentives for either side to strike first. A after thousands of U.S. MIRVed ICBMs were designed, built, siloed, and pointed at the other side, it was decided a MIRVed missile in an underground silo was too a lucrative a target. The logic went like this. If one ICBM in, say, Wyoming contained 10 warheads in its nose cone, that silo was, or could be, seen as too tempting of a target for an enemy to destroy with a preemptive nuclear strike. Lots of arguments later, the MRFs were disarmed, dismantled, deconstructed, disposed of, some of them were destroyed, but only the MRFs on land. In the submarines, the nuclear missiles were deemed okay to remain MIRVed, for a strange logic that went like this. A nuclear submarine is not really a target because it can't TMT be located, it being stealthy and under the sea. And so, missiles on Ohio-class submarines have remained MIRVed. And now it is a legion of these MIRVed tridents that strikes North Korea in the first U.S. nuclear counterstrike against the nation that recklessly and foolishly and why, we simply don't yet TMT Noah started nuclear World War III in this scenario. In the words of John Ruble, a mass extinction event is underway. The first nuclear bombs to hit North Korea strike the supreme leader at TMS known residences in and around Pyongyang. These palaces and villas double as military headquarters, and are therefore considered by U.S. war planners to be central components of North Korea TMS nuclear command and control. Residence number 55, the central luxury mansion in the Yongsong district, is hit. The leader at TMS private train station, the man-made lakes, and the anti-artillery sites guarding the palace here, they all get vaporized in the nuclear bomb blast. The same goes for the horses waiting in the stables and the children swimming in the pool. Everything in a 3-mile diameter ring is mowed down, all the people incinerated, all things ablaze. This horror will happen 81 more times in the next few minutes. Residence number 15, in Jungsung Dong, is struck. Its fireball destroys the adjoining Central Committee of the Party complex, its cavern of underground tunnels and bunkers below. Residence number 85, in East Pyongyang, is hit. Its fields of domesticated deer and fishing ponds are the one instant, gone the next. Residence number 16, in the Central District, is obliterated, as is the party research facility and everyone working there, next door. The Ryokpo and Samsok residences in the western suburbs disappear in fire and blast, as does the lakeside residence at Kangdong, a summer retreat 19 miles north of Kim Il-sung Square. Mushroom clouds stretch out over the city and merge into a dense mass of particulates of organic and inorganic matter, particles of humans and buildings and bridges and cars, all cremated on the spot. Between the fireballs, the blast, and the several hundred mile per hour winds, the city is flattened end to end. By nightfall, all 772 square miles of Pyongyang, known locally as the capital of the revolution, will be engulfed in a megacyclone of fire that burns and burns until there is nothing left to burn. Gone is the city at TMS Russian-style architecture, its high-rise apartment buildings, its orderly grid. Gone are Pyongyang at TMS people on bicycles, on foot, in cars. People standing, sleeping, pausing, brushing their teeth are all killed in nuclear flash, fire, and blast. Nuclear weapons destroy everyone, and everything, in Kim Il-sung Square, in the Mansudi Assembly Hall, in the 1st of May Stadium, the Jush Tower, the Arch of Triumph, the Ryugyeong Hotel, also known as Building 105, the 105-story tall unfinished, pyramid-shaped skyscraper designed as a middle finger to the West. Come nightfall, everything from the Sunan International Airport to the Korea Bay will be reduced to barren, smoldering soil. As in Washington, D.C., millions of people have been incinerated on the go, melted into streets and surfaces, sucked into hurricanes of fire. People have been impaled by flying shards and crushed under buildings. Everywhere, human beings are screaming and burning and hemorrhaging to death. The destruction, pain, and suffering here is identical to the destruction, pain, and suffering halfway across the world in the United States. And one must accept to and understand that this is all but a speck of the mass carnage to follow, worldwide. Across North Korea, 20 more nuclear bombs strike the national TMS nuclear facilities. The Yongbyon Nuclear Scientific Research Center, in the central northwest, explodes in a nuclear fireball. This place houses a radiochemical lab, a uranium enrichment plant, and two nuclear reactors. And so, precisely what happened in Diablo Canyon roughly 30 minutes ago now happens here, nuclear core materials melt down. The Devla TMS scenario. To strike a nuclear reactor with any explosive weapon violates Rule 42 of the International Committee of the Red Cross. But nuclear war has no rules. If you win, you need not have to explain. With core meltdowns underway, and with the facility at TMS spent fuel rods spewing out radioactive Wichita-TM brew, the land here has also now become uninhabitable for an interminable amount of time. Along the Kaohsiung TMS northwestern coast, the Sohae Satellite Launching Station and its ICBM engine test facility are struck with nuclear bombs. Sohae, located 70 miles northwest of Pyongyang, is just 30 miles from Dandong, China, population 2 million. If China intended on staying out of this conflict, the sudden killing or wounding of hundreds of thousands of Chinese citizens will now drag China and its arsenal of 410 nuclear weapons into this rapidly unfolding, all-out nuclear war. In North Korea, TMS northern region, a nuclear bomb strikes the Punggye-ra nuclear test site, where underground tests conducted between 2006 and 2017 allowed North Korea to transform purchased or stolen nuclear plans into the sprawling nuclear weapons program that started this war. Punggye-ra is 110 miles from the Russian border, with Russia TMS port city of Vladivostok just another 85 miles north. Kangsan, a clandestine uranium enrichment site along the Pyongyang-Namp'o Expressway, is hit. As is Sino-ri, an undeclared missile base in the mountains. Sangnam-Ninmyo-Zhudanri missile launching sites, also within range of the Russian border, are struck in rapid succession. In a few more minutes, an additional 50 ICBMs will strike North Korea, the 50 ICBMs that Russia mistook as 100 or more coming for them. In a matter of minutes, 82 nuclear warheads kill millions of North Korean citizens, none of whom did anything to bring any of this upon themselves, same as the Americans killed minutes ago in Washington, D.C., and around Diablo Canyon, did nothing personally to harm those now dead and dying halfway across the world. U.S. submarine-launched Trident missiles are a beast of a weapon system. The namesake, the Trident, is a three-pronged pole arm created by humans for spear fishing, or for combat against other humans, or we have no way of knowing which came first. How old the Trident actually is in conception, no one knows that, either. Prehistoric, for sure. Humans' ATM ability to do science has helped humans refine killing. Helped us evolve from a hand-to-hand war fighter to one who can push a button, or turn a key, and kill millions of people on the other side of the world.